Let's turn back to Revelation on verse 5. Revelation 21. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Now, Ronnie phoned me a couple of weeks ago and he said, it looks like we'll be moving out of the church on this Sunday, out of the church building, and we'll be moving into the hall. He said, but I'm down doing a baptism in Slate for Gordon and Delena. And he says, would it be possible I would like somebody within the congregation to take the service? And I was just thinking about it. I said, well, I'll think of the theme of new. So this is why we're in Revelations this morning. And I think it's quite appropriate to turn to this. And hopefully to encourage us and to help us to focus on the big picture. And if we have any misgivings, to really think about God in it all. Because it's all about God. It's all about God. And this is what this verse here is about. It's about God. Verse 5 is a conclusion to what God is doing. This is the work that he's been working towards. And it's coming. This is the conclusion. Jesus finished the work of redemption on the cross. It's finished. We're redeemed. It is finished. But this is the work of renewal, completely finished in Revelation chapter 21. He says, I'm making all things new. And preceding that, we see what he has done. Much of the language is symbolic, but the content is about renewal. It's about something better than we know. It's about something that is lasting. Something that is eternal. Something that doesn't need a quinquennial visit or need some sort of presbytery to attend to see that it's right. This is the finished work of God. And it's forever. And what is he going to do? This is the big picture. And what we're doing is the little picture here and there. This is the big picture. And it says, John says in the vision what the big picture is. I saw the new heavens and the new earth. So this is the big picture. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now remember, the language is symbolic. It doesn't mean that there won't be sea. But sea is a symbol of darkness, a symbol of separation. It's for now onwards, there's no separation for God's people. They're united forever. Because remember where John was when he was writing this letter? He was on the island of Patmos, away from the rest of the church, separated by sea. And he's saying, now there's no more sea, there's no more depth, there's no more dread, there's no more pits. I'm making all things new. So there's no more sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. From God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. The New Jerusalem, the Holy City, that's the Church of God. That's us, that's flesh and blood. That's what it is. The Church is flesh and blood. Coming down from God for the husband. So God has made the Church new and he's presenting it to Christ, the bridegroom, for the husband. Everything is made new. Forever. Perfection. And then the things of this world are gone. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them forever. God is living, and the people are living forever. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And then he will wipe every tear. There'll be no more mourning, crying, pain. The old order of things has passed away. Death. This is it now, forever. The renewal. No more death. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more separation. This is the church. Finally. In its final place. Presented. Beautifully dressed. Christ. The renewal, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, totally restored, totally revamped, as we would say in colloquial language, totally done up for God. And there is a reminder for us here as well that this is a work of heaven. This is a work of grace. This is the work of the Almighty Creator and not the work of man. He says, He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. It's God that's making everything new. That's who makes the church new. Now we are in this building this morning because we're making that building new. The church building, the interior is going to be renewed. We see part of the exterior has been done already, John Ferguson, we're fine. And at the moment we're in a transition period where we're getting ready to go in. Now from a lot of what's in that building is from the early 20th century, obviously being updated and updated. But we want to take the building into the early 21st century. And that's going to mean that there's going to be some big changes in the building next door. What's that going to involve? It's going to involve removing rotten old material, what's under the floor. Removing the furniture and putting contemporary furniture in it. And we're doing this as a body of Christ. And this is something that has not just come in the last few weeks. We've been working on this for 15 years, I think, really. Something along that lines we've been talking. There's been a lot of debate, a lot of agreements, disagreements to get to the place where we are today. But we're not doing it as men. We are doing it as men, but we're doing it under the guidance and under the wisdom of God. There will be a period of disruption and inconvenience, but we hope it will be worth it. The renewed building, which will serve the needs of a contemporary church. And I say contemporary church because we are the church. That's not the church, that's a building. Some of us might dread it, the change. Some of us might be elated by it. Some of us might be totally indifferent. I don't dread it. I'm not totally elated. I'm somewhat in the middle there. But I am looking forward to it. But I'm not totally elated. I'm just that kind of person. I don't really get excited about buildings. I get more excited about going to a football match. But there are some who are totally indifferent. But we must recognise that it's God's plan and God's purpose. It's God that provides the vision for the leaders. It's God that provides the funds. It's God that's providing the workers. It's God that gives the wisdom for men to make decisions. And there's two things I want us to focus on to help us as we look to the future. First, creation and creator. What are we focused on? Are we focused on creation in what we're creating in there? Or we're focused on the creation that we're making there, the building, or are we focused on the creator? We can be. I know from my own life, when I looked at some of the work that my father did in the house, and there was change. It could be a bit. I felt really. No, you get sentimental, and you get. This is what my dad did. This is what my father did. And the girls are changing it now. But you can't leave what my father did 30 years ago. They have to change it. They have to renew it. They have to update it. And it can be like that with church buildings. We look at what our forefathers did. And we focus on the creation again. On men rather than God. And if we focus on creation, we end up opposing the work of God. The building was built by our forefathers at great personal sacrifice. And they built it with a vision to serve the community and to serve the church here. And they had personal sacrifice. Time, money, and the vision they had. It's over 100 years old. So these men made great sacrifices to provide that building. And we don't intend to take anything away from their work. But we want to remove anything that doesn't serve the purpose now, or anything that's broken or rotten. And we hope to add to it by improving it. The next generation after us, if Christ doesn't come back, will improve it. Our grandchildren will improve it. They will renew it and they will improve it as time goes on. And that's what we do with everything. We do that with our homes. We do it with our cars. I've just taken down a fence that's been up for 15 years. Some of it was rotten, some of it was all right. I took a lot down and I renewed it. But the problem when it comes to church buildings, that we often become confused because we see them as divine and sacred and holy buildings. But they're not. They're not living. They're just bricks and mortar. That's what they are. And when Christ comes back, the buildings of this world will not be saved. It will be the people that will be saved. Everything will be consumed in Christ. They are not living. I know of a place where they were updating a door and somebody said, the holy hands have put these doors on there, they're taking them down. Yes, men and women that were Christians, made holy by God. But we should leave it because it was holy hands. But again, we're looking to creation and created beings rather than God. While having the utmost respect for the men of yesteryear who did all the work that we are with today, we must not put the works of their hands on par with the hands that were nailed on the cross. That's the holy hands, Christ's hands, and they were nailed to the cross. The carpenter from Nazareth made all things new. He was a builder, and he made all things new. Our lives, our souls, and eventually our bodies will be renewed by the carpenter from Nazareth. He built the church from his hands, from the cross. He built it by his blood on the cross, by his sweat and his toil in Gethsemane, where he sweated blood in Gethsemane. He built the church, not a building, but a church that will endure forever. Our fathers and our grandchildren, our forefathers built this building. Our grandchildren will renew it in time. But the carpenter, the Son of God, built the church that will last forever. And that is the church. And that's what we need to focus on. Let us look back with thankfulness, but look ahead also with thankfulness to God. If we look at the created things rather than the Creator, we will have a distorted view. We will have a distorted view of God's purpose in the world. God's purpose in the world is not for buildings, it's to save people and build a church that will last forever. We as leaders must also not fall into the trap of looking at created things. We must remember that God the Creator is in control and not us. He's given us a vision, the wisdom, the funds, the workers to do the job. It's okay to be excited about the work and the outcome, but the excitement shouldn't deflect us from our role. We're called to serve God. Yes, we're called to serve him in a practical way as well, as deacon, but as spiritual leaders, as elders, we're called to serve the living church. That's what we're called to serve. We elders are called to serve the living church of Christ, not a created church building. Yes? We're to have some involvement, but that should not be our ministry. Our responsibility is to the Church of Christ. People can be deflected of their vision. People have to be given a role under the supervision of the church, to be delegated. But this project might take a while to finish, and the temptation is for us all to throw ourselves into it and get stressed, get deflected, get inactive as men of God. We need to let the builders and those in charge get on with it, to build our shelter, to build this building, while we go into the community as Christ's builders and build his church in the community. Build his shelter in the community. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. That's our work, to be out in the church. What happens when the Creator, when God, when we see Jesus, that he is the one that's making all things new? We can rejoice in the reality of that and be thankful. There are things that have been made for our temporal needs. There are things that have been made for our eternal needs. And we're thankful to God for his temporal and eternal provisions for us. Now, the church building, he has provided the means. The renewal of the building is for our temporal needs here. Why do we say temporal? Our time here is temporal. We're not guaranteed that we'll live beyond today. We're temporal here. That building is temporal. The building is not holy, as I said. It's bricks and mortar. It's a building that we use to protect ourselves from the elements, to keep us warm, where we can enjoy fellowship, where we can hang around after the service and communicate. I read a book years ago, it's out of publication now, it's called Miracle on the Kauai. It was about a soldier that was in fighting out in, he was interned in a Japanese prisoner of war camp during the Second World War, and the brutality and the starvation went through, and he was converted in that experience. And he said, our church, he said, was the jungle. The firmament was its roof. When he came back to the UK after the war, he had tremendous fellowship in the face of death every day with his brothers out there. When he came back to the UK, he was constrained by church builders and the legality that came with it all. He said he couldn't cope. If you find the book, I probably got it somewhere, I must give it to you because it will open your eyes. This was a man that was fighting with the Japanese and was captured at the fall of Singapore. And then, I can't remember, Ernest Gordon was his name. Find the book, read it, it will open your eyes. Ask of what the Church of Christ really is. So we have this building, it's to provide our needs. It's not to provide for God, it's to provide for us. But it's not special, but we thank God for this special role that it has in the community. But it's not a divine building. And there is a building that he has made for eternal needs. And that is us. The church of flesh and blood. And it comes through salvation. It's a church of people, of men and women, of boys and girls. And what do we see of this church today? Well, we see a church that is living. We see a church that is crying. We see a church that is laughing and joyful, just like anybody else. But we see a church that has sorrow and pain and heartbreak. A very real church of flesh and blood that is enduring, that is suffering, that is rejoicing. And we see a building, just an abstract thing. but it serves a need and it serves a purpose. That's the church that he's going to make for eternity. And he's going to remove the rot from us. He's going to remove the corruption. And he's going to remove the pain and the tears from us. But he's asked us to renew this building under his title. And we make a place that's warm and comfortable, that's accessible, that's attractive to the world. Why? Because we want them to come and hear the gospel. We want them to hear about Christ. To hear about the real church, about Jesus. To hear about God, who is making all things new. But we all have a duty to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. A new building is not going to make disciples of all nations. It's Christ and his people that's going to make disciples. That's why it's the Creator that we put our hope in, and not this building. Not the creation, but the Creator. The building will serve its purpose for many years and it will be good. But that's not where our hope is. It's in our Creator. And we need to look at our Creator at all times. Because it's him that's going to make all things new. A new building, as I said, will not. It will not attract people to Christ. It might attract people because they're curious and they want to come in and they see a new building and they want to have a look at it, and that will be great. They might then want to come and view it because it's new, because it's modern, because it's contemporary. But it's Christ that will bring people into the church. Into the church. They must see Christ. They must see the church. They must see us. They must see us renewed. They must see us different from the world. They must see no sign of rot or corruption in us, or a hypocrisy. Not saying that we're perfect and we don't fall and we don't sin, but our attitude should be one of holiness. Holiness must be seen, and that is a great challenge to me in my own life. Do the people of the world see me holy, or do they see rot and corruption in me? Renewal of character, renewal of attitude. That's what attracts people to Christ. There's a day coming when perfection will be known, when peace will be known completely, when all rot and corruption will be removed, when pain and sorrow and heartache and death will be gone. Christ the carpenter is working on his church. The church building is for us. But we are the church that is for him. We are the building that is for him. He is building us. He is building his church, she said, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He is renovating us. He is renewing us. He's making us ready for glory. And that work will only be completed in glory. So let us draw people to come to Christ. Draw them to come to our new building. There they will hear the word of God. There they will hear the gospel preached. That we can preach and teach and witness the gospel in the street, in the shop, in the car, to people coming out of the pubs, because we are the church. You can't take the building down the road, but you can take the church down the road. And Jesus didn't say, take the building. He says, go and make disciples. The church, go and make disciples of all nations. The church. We have an idea of people coming to church. And we can be condemning of people not coming to church. And we have an attitude towards our life. But Jesus doesn't say, come to church road and meet with me. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. You, the world will meet me and you in the church. That's where it will meet him. Go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. Into the shop, into the streets. Somebody coming out of the pub, be ready to go out and speak to him. That's what Jesus did. He's with the publicans and the tax collectors. He didn't sit in a building. That's what he did. And that's what he asked his church to do. I will make all things new, he said. So let us pray with thankfulness to God for his project, because it's the will of God. But that's just a tiny, tiny part of his plan. His plan is to reach out into this community and make disciples of all nations. To get the church. There are people today who are in the pub who are perhaps taking drugs, but that is part of Christ's church. We just haven't met them yet and made disciples of them. Go and make disciples of all nations. If he can make a disciple of me, he can make a disciple of anybody. Because I know how horrendous I am myself. So we thank God for his vision for our community. And we need to be part of that vision. And the way that we become part of the vision, we don't look at created things, we look at the Creator. And we will fall into the Creator's will. We're not saying there won't be difficulties, there won't be disagreements. But we need to look at the Creator. And he will bring us through all these things. May God bless these things to you.